We're going to, once again, discuss one of the written prayers that God chose to put into the canon of Scripture, one from the Apostle Paul. And this is one that is found in the book of Philippians. We looked at two in the book of Ephesians, and tonight we're going to begin on this one in the book of Philippians, and then there's one more from the Apostle Paul, and that's in the book of Colossians. But for tonight, we're in Philippians chapter number 1, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 11. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you, you all, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Paul was a country fellow, amen. He's getting that you all in there, amen. I long for you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And then here comes the prayer, verses 9 through 11. He said, "In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, and to the glory and praise of God." Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll look into this section of Scripture tonight. Our Father, we are thankful for your word. And Lord, we thank you, as has already been mentioned tonight, that as our God, you hear and answer the prayers of your people. We are thankful that we have access into your presence. And we have this access by the blood of Jesus, our wonderful high priest. And Lord, we're thankful that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And I pray that as we look into your word tonight, that you would open our understanding and you would speak to our hearts about this matter of prayer. God, help us not to forfeit this great privilege that you've given us, but help us to take it seriously and to seize every opportunity that we have to be a prayerful people. Help us just not to say prayers, but help us to be prayerful and to pray from our hearts to you in sincerity and in love. I pray, Lord, that tonight you would do a work in my heart and that you would do a work in the hearts of those that are here. Thank you for people who believe that it is still important to be a part of a local New Testament Bible-believing church and to be supportive of all the meetings. We thank you for that, and we pray that you would add to this number. I pray, God, that the beacon of light from this fellowship of believers would shine brightly in this community and surrounding communities and even around the world through world evangelism. Help us to make a difference as we have compassion, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Well, the Apostle Paul, writing to another church that he founded on one of his missionary journeys, and somebody has said that the book of Philippians is the book of joy, and I kind of agree with that. When you go through, you find that word in some form some 17 times in these four short chapters. Paul begins by opening up. He shows his affection for these people. He says in verse number 4, he said always, or verse number 3, I'm sorry, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He says, so I have you in my mind. I'm remembering you, and I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And then he said in verse number 7, he said, I have you in my heart. And he said, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. That's two good places to be, isn't it? In an individual. It really is. For somebody to have you in their mind, for someone to have you in their heart. But you know, I think more important than that, Paul said, I have you in my prayers. Look what he said in verse number 9. He said, for this and this I pray, that your love. He said, I'm praying for you. So he said, you're not only in my mind, I'm not only thinking of you, you're not only in my heart, I love you. He said, I'm praying for you. And I think that's very important. Very important. Paul thought a lot of these folks. You know, Paul, he thought a lot of the people that he led to Christ. They were very special to him. He didn't just win them and then move on to, you know, others. He certainly went on to try to win others, but he didn't forget them. He discipled them, and he wrote back to them, and he cared, and he sent other workers to them to care for their spiritual growth. He made a statement in verse number 8. He said, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That word there just simply means affection. It's the seat of emotion. He said, I'm affectionate towards you. I care about you. I care about what's going on in your life. And I believe if you care about people, you pray for them. I just believe that. I believe if you care for someone, you pray for them. And I think if you don't care for people and you will pray for them, you'll begin to care for them. I believe the Bible teaches that. It's kind of hard to stay angry at someone you're praying for. It's kind of hard to be at odds with someone when you begin to pray for them. God will begin to show you some things about them that will break down those walls of barrier. And God will begin to show me some things about myself that will break down the walls of the barrier. And so Paul said, I'm praying for you. Now there's some things that I want you to notice as we go through this. Tonight I'm just going to give some introductory thoughts. Okay? This is a deep prayer. Listen, Paul didn't... He didn't pray like a lot of folks today. And I'm not beating anybody up. I don't have anybody in here in mind. Sometimes our prayers are very generic. As I mentioned, now you got to remember what Paul come from. And I want to just say that before I get into this prayer. See, Paul had come from a background where you learn, almost memorize, and just recited prayers. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was talking about the importance of prayer. Now, Paul was a converted Pharisee, okay? He said, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Paul was a very religious man when he got saved. Listen, I'm glad God saves bad people, but God saves good people too. Amen. I think sometimes we're not careful. We'll think that bad people are only people that need to be saved. Now, good people need to be saved too. Amen. Listen, God saves all sinners, good and bad. And Paul was a Pharisee. He was a very... cultured. I believe he was a very educated man. I believe he learned at the feet of Gamaliel, sit at his feet. I believe he was a man that was deeply religious. And really, when he said it's touching the law, blameless. I mean, he gave his testimony, talked about his past before he got saved. And he said, you know, I was a very religious person. And he persecuted the church of God. Now, he said, I did it ignorantly. And he said, but you know, he said, I did it. He said, I was all in. Right? And he was. And you know, that kind of transferred into when he got saved. He was all in. I don't think you could argue that. But Paul had come from a background. And if you found Matthew chapter 6, Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount, he begins to talk about things that are important to us, praying, fasting, giving. And he said this in verse number 6 about praying. He said, But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And we're going to talk a little bit about the closet of prayer tonight, just a little bit. It's, you know, the closet of prayer is very important. Public prayer is important. I'm not opposed to public prayer. We have it here. We just had it. We have it often. Public prayer is a good thing. But I believe this. The private prayer, our prayer lives privately, will go a long way in determining how we're going to live publicly. I believe our prayer lives privately will go a long way, not only the way we live, but the way we act and the way we treat other people. The closet of prayer is very important in your life and in mine. And the devil wants to keep you out of your closet of prayer. All right? Now, your closet of prayer could be as you're driving down 29. I don't know. I just believe that we ought to steal away and get along with God and just spend time with God. It's important. All right? And so if you don't have that time, I believe you can pray without ceasing. You can pray anywhere, anytime. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Amen. But this closet of prayer, when Jesus said, when you pray, in verse number 6, look at it. He said, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So when you see people that are being blessed of God, and God's on their life, and God's doing things in their life, don't think that that's just, well, God showing favoritism toward one of his children. That's somebody that's spending some time in the secret place. Amen. God blessing you? Is God blessing you? Amen. Amen. It's because you have a prayer life. I believe prayerful people are joyful people. I don't think you can separate prayer from joy. You look in the Word of God, you see prayer and the Word of God together, you see prayer and joy together. Paul even mentioned to these folks in Philippi, and we'll see it in just a moment, he said, you know, when I pray for you, I'm full of joy. I believe prayer brings joy. I believe prayer will change the way I live my life. I believe it'll change the way you live your life. You say, well, I'm not too happy about some of the things that are going on in my life. You need to intensify your prayer life. You need to spend some more time in prayer. Now, the devil will fight your prayer life like nothing else. I believe that. You know, someone said the devil laughs at our works, he laughs at our thoughts, but he trembles at our prayers. And it's true. All right? And so I know what it is to labor and travail and to fight against the devil when it comes to this thing of prayer. And you do too. You know what I'm telling you tonight is from this book. The devil will fight your prayer life. He does not want you to pray. He does not want you to get serious about prayer. He wants it to be just some nominal thing that you just generically and generally throw out there. God bless everybody all the time. Amen. You know, and Paul said, when you pray now, he said, get in your prayer closet. But Jesus said that. But notice what he said about this group of religious people. He said, don't be like, in verse number 7, he said, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. He said, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. He said, look in verse number 5, he said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, or for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. This is where Paul did his work. All right, this is where the Pharisees did their work. They love standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. He said, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They just recited prayers, and it was just repetition. You know, you've been around folks, as we go back to Philippians, you've been around people, and they just say the same thing over and over. Just, oh, they've learned some little quaint prayer or some little quaint. They don't pray prayers, they say prayers. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. And you don't want to get to the place where you just recite some dead set of words that you've memorized or that you've recited for years. Prayer is from the heart. You pray to God from the heart. You reveal to God what's in your heart and what's troubling you or someone's burdening you. And you pray that to God. You let God know what is important, what a priority is. That's prayer. It's not just reading from a card or as I said, memorizing some quaint little prayer and just reciting it every time you're called on to pray or every time you pray. Just pray from your heart. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't know how to pray. I was telling someone just tonight, I don't know that I ever prayed before I got saved. I look back over my life, I can't remember one time ever praying. Maybe I did as a boy. If I did, I don't remember. And so I got saved at 19. Until I was 19 years old, I don't know that I ever said a prayer. Maybe I did. If I did, I don't remember. But prayer was just not a part of my life. But when I prayed and got saved, God made prayer a part of my life. I can't remember a day that's gone by since I've been a Christian that I haven't prayed. I'm not a prayer warrior. I'd like to be. I want to be. I strive to be. I could pray more. But I pray. Why? Because I'm saved. I'm saved. God saved me. I have communion with my Lord. I pray to Him. I don't spend as much time in my prayer closet as I should, but I do have a prayer closet. I have a secret place. I get along with the Lord and I talk with Him, and He talks with me. And he lifts my burden. Amen. There's some things that are transformed in my prayer closet. Amen. God turns my burdens to blessings, my pains to praising, my grief to glory. Amen. God, listen, I think you could testify with me. There's been times that I've knelt on my knees with a heavy heart. And I mean, I've gotten up and God's lifted my burden. And God's assured me, son, I know your situation. And I'm at work in this situation. You look to me. You gave this to me, leave it with me, and trust me. And God's done a work in my life that way. And if you've been saved for any length of time, you can testify He's done a work in your life that way also. This matter of prayer is important. I want you to, as you turn back to Philippians chapter 1, we see where God allows Paul to pull back the door of his prayer closet a little bit. And we get to kind of see into Paul's prayer closet. Paul said, I want you to know I pray for you. Right? Is that what he said in verse number 9? He said, in this I pray. He said, I'm praying for you. I'm not just thinking of you. He said that in verse number 3. He said, I'm thinking of you. He said, you're not just in my heart. By the way, in verse number 4, he said, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Prayer and joy just go together. It's just something. I believe, as I said earlier, prayerful people are a joyful people. The more I pray, the happier I get. I mean, it's real. And when I find myself not praying, I lose direction. I lose perspective. And so God help me to stay, and God help you, and God help us to understand the importance of prayer in our lives. And Paul's praying for the church. He said, I'm praying for you. And so I want to give you some things about this thing of prayer. The first thing I want you to notice is that God allows us to look into Paul's prayer closet. And when I look into Paul's prayer closet, we looked in Ephesians chapter 1, we looked in Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to look here in Ephesians, or Philippians rather, chapter 1, we'll look in Colossians chapter 1 later on. God just kind of pulls back the veil a little bit and says, look, I want you to look into a real prayer warrior's prayer closet. And this is what it looks like. And I began to think, I wonder if you could see into my prayer closet, or if we could see into your prayer closet. What would that look like? You know, God sees into our prayer closet. He does. And I just think it's important that we establish that secret place. And so I want to encourage you tonight, okay? This is not meant to discourage you. It's meant to encourage you. If you don't have a place or a time or a spot that you can just get alone and just be with God. And you know, for different people, it's different places, it's different times, and so I'm not going to give you some kind of prescribed. I just think it's important that you just find that time and that place to where it's just you and God. And you just talk to the Lord. And you just make, you know, God, I'll meet you here. And I'm going to meet you here, and I want to talk to you. And I want you to talk to me, because I need this. God, I want you to help me to keep the right perspective in life and ministry and service. I just want you to help me. Because I'm apt to kind of go out, you know, and I think Pastor BJ mentioned it tonight. I'm apt to just kind of do things my way. And I just want you to help me to stay focused and stay in line. All right? So let's look at it. There's three things I want you to write down. If you write in your Bible, if you don't, then write on a piece of paper. If you don't and you have a great memory, then you just remember. And that's probably everybody from 20 years old and younger. The rest of you, I suggest a piece of paper. First thing Paul does, he said, I want to talk to you about the basics of prayer. He said, in this I pray. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, just the basics, all right? And then he said, I want to talk to you about the specifics. Watch what he said. And this I pray. And then he got right to some specific things. You know, there's nothing wrong with generalizing prayer sometimes. But I think that we really are in tune most when we can get specifically down to something. I mean, get down to the specifics. It's okay to pray for the lost. God, I just pray for those that are lost in Madison County, in Orange County, in Culpeper County, in Greene County, in Albemarle County, in Rappahannock County. Listen, I understand that. All right? Fauquier County. Around the world, as our missionaries do their work, God, we pray for the lost of the world. But I think that there's times you ought to get specific and say, God, I pray for Chris. I pray for Chris, my co-worker. He's lost, Lord. God, I want to win him to you. Give me a burden. Make it real. Help me to see the need of this man as you see the need of this man. You see, specifics. It's important. And that's what Paul's doing right here. He got really specific and he named some things. He didn't just generalize and say, you know what? I trust that the church of Philippi will be a flourishing and great work for God. He got specific. And he said, there's some specific things that I'm praying for you there in Philippi. And he talked about that their love would abound and that they would approve some things in verse number 10 that are excellent. And that there would be some fruit in their life. You see what he did? He got specific. And there's nothing wrong with getting specific about some things. Again, as I said, there's nothing wrong with general. But there's just times that I believe God wants you and I to get specific. God, I've got this specific thing in my life that is hindering me. And I've laid it down and I've laid it down and God, I've picked it up and I've picked it up and I've laid it down and I've picked it up and God, I want to get victory over this once and for all. And I'm trusting you. God, I'm trusting you. Get specific. It's not enough sometimes to say, God, cleanse me of all my sin. Just get specific. You know what it is and God knows what it is. You don't have to go tell everybody in the church. Just get in your secret place and say, God, I want to get specific about something that's hindering me in my life that you know about, and I want you to help me. Right? So there's the basics. And then he got specific. And then in verse number 11, it's the close of the prayer, we'll talk about the dynamics. Notice what he said, unto the glory and the praise of God. Now that's dynamic. Amen. The glory and the praise of God. So we'll talk about these three things over the next few weeks. Tonight, I just want to give you some introductory thoughts about the basics of prayer. All right? I want to encourage you to have a prayer life. You say, well, preacher, I do have a prayer life. Well, I'm glad. I believe every Christian does. I just do. I believe every Christian has a prayer life. I believe every Christian struggles in their prayer life to some degree because I believe the devil fights our prayer lives. I want to encourage you to not give up, to not grow weary. Don't faint. Don't faint in your prayer life. You say, well, preacher, I've been praying for a matter for 10 years. You keep praying. There are people that have prayed for 10, 15, 20 years, and they were faithful to pray, and God delivered the answer. I may be talking to someone in here, you've been praying for a relative of yours for 15, 20 years to get saved and they haven't gotten saved yet. You keep praying. God answers the prayers of His people. Just because God hasn't answered yet doesn't mean God's not going to answer. Amen. So please, I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't faint. Don't grow weary. You keep praying. You keep praying. And we'll keep praying together as a church. We'll try to keep prayer as a very important matter. We'll try to keep it as a priority here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Prayer is power. I believe that. No prayer, no power. We need the power of God on this ministry. You need the power of God in your life, in your home, and we need it in this church. If we're going to make a difference now in people's lives, we're going to have the power of God on us, brethren. Amen. Our Sunday school classes, our bus ministry, our missions program, everything that we do, the preaching, the music, the singing, the choir, everything that we do needs the power of God on. If it's going to honor God now, if it's going to honor God, we need the power of God to be on it. We don't want it to be just, you know, I pray often, and I don't want to make this about me. But I want you to pray this with me. I pray often, God, I pray that when people leave here, that they would not say, what a great message. I want them to say, what a great God. That man must be serving a great God for him to preach like that. See, I want people to be pointed to Jesus. I don't want it to be about the preacher. I don't want it to be about the vocalist or the musician or the choir or the orchestra or the teacher or the usher or anything. I just want it to be about Jesus. And I believe you do too. But now without the power of God, it can become about us. And people can leave and they can have all of these thoughts about all the different things. One day, we'll have a new building, if God be willing. we'll move across the way, and God will bless us with new facilities. And I pray to God that it wouldn't be when people leave, they say, wow, what a beautiful facility that God has here. No, I don't want it to be about the facility. I don't want it to be about that. And I pray God give us a facility, we'll take care of it, but that's not what I want people to leave thinking. I want people to leave thinking, what a great God is at Fellowship Baptist Church. He's God, amen. What a powerful God. God is in that place, you see. That's what we need. That's what we need. And so Paul said this. He said, and this I pray. Now prayer, this first thing I want you to write down about the basis of prayer. You've got to make it personal. See that word I? See, I can pray for you, but I can't pray for you. I can't pray in your place, all right? I will pray for you. I will become intercessory, and I will intercede on your behalf, all right? But now I can't pray in your stead. You must pray. I must pray. And Paul said, for this, look in verse number 9, he said, for this I pray. It's personal. It's personal. I'm reminded when the disciples went to Jesus, and I'm stricken by this, all right? When they went to Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us to... Now think about this for a moment, what they could have said. They had heard Jesus preach. What a preacher, right? They could have said, wow, teach us to preach like that. They had seen Jesus do miracles. They could have said, teach us to do those miracles, right? They had seen him deal with people and to win them unto himself. And they could have said, teach us to win souls like that. But they didn't say, Lord, teach us to win souls, or Lord, teach us to preach and teach, or Lord, teach us to do those miracles. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. To pray. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. You pray, God will do miracles in your life and through your life. I believe that. You pray, and God will teach and preach and testify through you like never before. We pray, and God will win souls through us. He'll get on our lives, and he'll touch our lives, and we'll be able to touch the lives of others because of our prayer life. And so he said in verse number 9, and this I pray. You got to make it personal. You have to make it personal. I want to give you one more thing about this thing about person, then I'll give you two other quick things and I'll be through tonight. Turn, if you would, to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 17, there was a prophet that prayed and God shut up the heavens. You say, well, I just don't know that God would do that again. Well, he saved you. Can I tell you, God saving me and God saving you is more powerful than God shutting up the heavens to answer the prayers of Elijah. Amen. See, I think we forget the miracle that took place in our lives when we got saved. It's the greatest miracle of all. Amen. So, in 1 Kings chapter number 17, there's something that happened here that if you're reading through this kind of casually, you might miss it. And if you did, I want to point it out so that you won't miss it the next time. So you're reading along in 1 Kings chapter 17. You know the story, how that God had went to Elijah and he told him to confront Ahab. But in verse number 3 of 1 Kings chapter 17, he said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. And notice this next phrase, and hide thyself. All right? Because before God will want me or you to go public, he'll want to deal with us in private. Now, we can learn some things from this, the way God deals with people. It's good, if you can, to deal with people in private first before you deal with them in public. Amen. And God said, now Elijah said, I want to spend some time with you. He said, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to get down by the brook Cherith, by Jordan. And he said, I'm going to spend some time with you. And then look over in chapter 18. Now, after God had taught him some things, and you read that and see what God taught him, then you go over to chapter number 18. It says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself. So God didn't just tell Elijah, Elijah, I want you to go show yourself and do this. He said, I want you to hide yourself first. I want you to spend some time with me. I want you to get in that closet. I want to show you what I can do so that when you show yourself, you will have confidence and not be afraid. Amen? I believe the reason that Christianity is in the trouble it's in today is because we've been trying to show ourselves without hiding ourselves. We get to hiding ourselves and let God show us afresh what God can do, we'll be bold as lions, brethren. I'm telling you. There is a boldness about getting along with God and seeing what God can do in our lives. And so we go back and to Philippians, and we see where Paul said, you know, he said, I'm praying for you. And he said, I am praying for you. He said, I'm not asking others to pray for you, though there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Not a thing wrong with asking other people to pray for situations. We share prayer requests. Not a thing wrong with it. But now, if there's something troubling you in your heart and you're going to ask other people to pray about that situation, surely you ought to pray about it. If it means enough to you to mention it for me to pray about it, you pray about it. Spend some time in prayer. All right? So there's the personal part about prayer. Then there's the powerful. Notice this. And this I pray. Think about what Paul is saying here. You know where Paul's at when he's writing this? What are we calling these prayers? Prison prayers. Paul's in prison. He's probably chained to some guard, right? He might even be in a dungeon. I would think so, right? And you know, Paul said, in this I pray, God, get me out of this. You know, amen. That'd be our prayer, right? You know, God, get me out of here. What am I doing in here anyway? You know, I just want to serve you, and I'm in prison. I want you to learn something from this. If you wait until our lives are A-okay, we're not going to pray for anyone. Brethren, man's days that are born of a woman, full of trouble. Jesus said, in this life you shall have tribulation. You had trouble today. I had some trouble today. We have trouble. We have burdens. We have trials. We have hard places. But we can't quit praying for others. We can't get so focused on ourselves and what's going on in our lives that we forget our brethren need prayer. Amen? Our brethren needs prayer. We need to pray for other people. Paul was in a hard place. He was in prison. He was in a very uncomfortable place in his life. But you know what he said? In verse number 9, in this I pray that your love may abound. He said, I'm praying for you. I've got you on my heart in verse number. Remember what we said back in verse number 7? He said, you're in my heart. You're on my mind. I'm thinking about you. He wasn't thinking about him and his situation and how hard it was and how unfair it was, right? No, he was thinking about other people, and he was thinking about their needs and how that they could grow, and he was praying for them. It's a great lesson for me to learn right here. It's a great lesson for you to learn. There's a power in prayer. Brethren, you just think about who we're praying to. It unleashes the power of God in our situation when we take it to God in prayer. Don't forfeit this great privilege that God has given you. All right? And then finally, as we close tonight, so there's the personal part of prayer. There's the powerful part of prayer. And then there's the purposeful. All right? Look what he said in verse number 9 again. And this I pray. There's a purpose. You know, there usually is a purpose we pray. I don't know that there could be a prayer without purpose. It could be to praise God. Maybe our prayer is just to say, God, I'm not going to ask you for anything. I'm just going to tell you I love you and I thank you for your goodness to me. The purpose of that prayer is to praise and thank God. Purpose drives prayer. It just does. And so when God begins to put you in purposeful situations, you remember that He put you there so that you can bring that to Him. Take your purpose to God, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be a negative. It doesn't have to be a crisis. It could be a pleasant. It could be a positive. And God wants to hear from us. God wants to hear you sing. Isn't that what the ladies sing at the church? God wants to hear us sing. God wants to hear us praise Him. When He's blessing our lives, and even when He's not, He wants to hear us praise Him. Yes, God wants to hear about our burdens. Yes, God wants to hear our cares. Yes, He wants to hear our requests. He wants to hear our petitions and our supplications. But He wants to hear us praise Him and thank Him. And so Paul said in verse number 9, and this is just the basics now. It was personal. He said, I pray. Are you praying? Are you? Could you pray more? We all could, couldn't we? Sure we could. We know we could. But the devil fights us. And I tell you, there's been times, and I think I heard somebody say recently, and I just thought to myself, well, I must not be there yet. Someone said recently, you know, when you're where you need to be with the Lord, you don't lose you don't lose your focus in your prayer life. I thought, well, wow, I'm trying to get there, but I haven't made it there yet. And I'm being serious. The devil fights my prayer life. And I believe he's fighting yours. I believe he fights every Christian's prayer life. And I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't let him win. Don't let him win. You keep praying. You keep praying. You determine in your heart by the grace of God, you're going to take your petitions and let your requests be made known unto God. You pray for other people. Other people are counting on us to pray for them. Are you counting on people to pray for you? I want to ask you a couple of questions as we close tonight. Can you tell when people are praying for you? I can. Not always, but I can tell when people are praying for me. I can just sense it. God is just at work in my life. You know, I can't tell you the times that I've stood behind a pulpit or by a casket or at a graveside, and I've looked in the faces of those that have lost a loved one to death or to tragedy, and I've seen God all in their face. I knew somebody is praying for this family. Somebody's praying for that lady. Somebody's praying for that mom or that dad, that husband, that wife. Brethren, prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. And don't you ever let the devil tell you that it doesn't. Don't you let the devil tell you that your prayer doesn't work. Your prayer is important to someone. And mine is too. And so we need to keep praying. We need to keep praying. Keep praying for your country. Keep praying for America. So America's gone a long way, preacher. It's done. Well, now it's gone a long way. And it has, and it's in a bad situation. But the children of Israel are in a lot of bad situations too. When you read through the book of Judges, and God sent them a deliverer. And, I don't know what God's going to do. I just want to be faithful and pray and trust God to do what He does, which is right. And I want to do my part by being faithful. And I believe you do too. Let's all stand.